So our text for this evening's meditation is from the Gospel according to St. John, the 19th chapter, these words. So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in this one brief verse from the Gospel according to St. John, we have a summation of the reason the world crucified our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Crown of thorns on the head, Jesus, on the head of Jesus, the robe, the purple robe, had been placed upon him by the Roman soldiers who had, hearing that Jesus was a king of sorts, which in their eyes was so obviously not true, decided to have some fun, some entertainment, we would say today, and dressed Jesus up like a king. So they gave him a crown that would create nothing but pain, and a robe, a purple robe, which having been placed upon Jesus, would eventually be taken away from him again. And then there was what Pilate himself said, three words, three infamous words, really those three being, "Behold the man." Now, these are infamous words, for Jesus, of course, was not just a man, but Jesus was God. Jesus is God, the very Son of God, the very Son of God through whom all that exists came to be. And yet Pilate would say of him, "Behold the man." Why? Why did Pilate say that? Well, the Jews had brought Jesus to Pilate for the express purpose of his execution. It would be good, so Caiaphas, the high priest that year, had suggested, it would be good for one man to die for the sins of the people. For what purpose? Apparently, to relieve the city of Jerusalem, packed as it was with people there for the Passover, of any political tension, of any ideas of rebellion, of any symbol of sedition, so that the Jews gathered in Jerusalem from all over the Roman Empire who might do such a thing like start an insurrection would know that the Sanhedrin was still in control of matters social, political, and judicial among the Jews. And the Romans would know that the Sanhedrin was only too willing to cooperate with the Romans to retain the power among the Jews, the limited power which they still possessed. So, when Jesus was brought to Pilate, the Roman governor, no charges were brought along with Jesus. No specific charges, but just simple ideas. One, that Jesus was doing evil. Two, that they, the leaders of the Jews, wished Jesus to be executed. Now, Pilate wasn't stupid. Pilate suspected that Jesus was handed over to him because Jesus was feared by the leaders of the Jews, feared for Jesus might indeed have political aspirations. So what did Pilate do? Pilate endeavored to demonstrate to the Jews that Jesus was obviously nothing. Nothing the Romans could not handle, and obviously no earthly king, by dressing him up, beating him, and so showing Jesus obviously to be under the complete and total power of Rome as one simple human being. "Behold the man." Or in other words, look, he's nothing. Look what we, the Romans, have done. Look, this Jesus has no authority. Look, we tortured him and are even now making him a laughingstock. Look, he's not a king. Look, the man. Look, a man. Just one single solitary man. But then it came out. Jesus should be crucified, so the Jews, not because he claimed to be king of the Jews, no. But because Jesus made himself out to be the very Son of God. Well, that was different. Different for Pilate. It was one thing if the Jews were asserting something that obviously didn't seem to be true. Another if what they were accusing Jesus of actually could be true, and that is that Jesus was the very Son of God. The Romans, after all, weren't atheists. The Romans weren't agnostics. The Romans were, in fact, quite religious, believing in the existence of over 600 gods and goddesses. This Jesus of Nazareth could be one of them. The fact that he was not beyond the realm of possibility. How was Pilate to know? So from then on, Pilate sought to release Jesus, but to no avail. Of course, in the conflicted Pilate, we find the conflicted man, the conflicted modern man, the conflicted man of today. So in the conflicted Pilate, we find ourselves, our old Adams. For how is it that we ourselves disregard or come to ignore the kingship of Jesus, his lordship, his being given all authority in heaven on earth, but by belittling Jesus in our hearts and minds? Yes, belittling. And asking after his kingdom on earth, we find nothing but that of which to make fun. Jesus is a king, huh? I don't see it. I find churches here and there who seem to do nothing but try to get my money. I see leaders of those churches caught up in one scandal after another on the news. I see Christian families struggling even more so, it seems, than non-Christian families. Jesus is a king. Jesus is a king in this world. Jesus has a kingdom. Nah. Obviously, it's not so. But the claim that Jesus is the Son of God, well, that's a bit more personal, isn't it? For just like with Pilate so long ago, this assertion that in Jesus we find God himself is not so easy to dismiss. For are we not by nature religious, seeking for gods and goddesses, beings we admire, aspire to be, and even worship? Are we not a culture filled with superheroes, with actors we want to look like, singers we want to sing like, athletes we want to play like? And are not there those religious figures from the East like the Dalai Lama that seem somewhat different, somewhat other? Buddhism, how mysterious. Hinduism, how intriguing. I mean, there could just be something to it that Jesus is God. So modern man. But what is to be done? What is to be done? The crucifixion of Christ took care of such speculation on the part of Pilate and on the part of modern man as well. Meaning, yes, it could be true that Jesus was the Son of God, but then again, he was crucified. He was executed. He died on the cross. So there is not much to be done about it. Now, when I was in eighth grade in English class, Bill Reed Elementary School, or Bill Reed Junior High School, a friend of mine spotted what looked like a pearl rolling around on the floor there in the classroom on the third floor, probably from an earring or a ring. If it's a pearl, he said, it can be crushed. If it's plastic, no. And before anyone could say anything or do anything, he put the bottom of the leg of his desk on that pearl and crushed it. Pearl, he said. At witnessing what happened at the crucifixion of Christ, the 3 hours of darkness, the crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Roman centurion said, truly this man was the Son of God. See, what Pilate suspected was indeed true. Jesus was the Son of God. And what the Jewish leaders feared was also true. Jesus was the King of the Jews, the long-awaited descendant of King David, the Messiah, the Anointed One. But the crucifixion of Christ did not put an end to either of these realities. It didn't put an end to these realities, and so it should not put an end to the discomfort, the nagging doubt, the fear of the old Adam as to the meaning of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ so long ago. For if it were not to solve a political crisis or to see whether or not Jesus was the Son of God, what was it? What was it really? What was the crucifixion of Christ? It was a dying of one man for the sins of the people. But not just for the people we know as the Jews of Jesus' day, but for all people of all times. And it was also not just the dying of one man, but of the very Son of God. For if Jesus were not God, his death would not be applicable to you and to me, which it in fact needs to be. For the heart of Christianity, the Christian faith, remains this simple message that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The very Son of Mary, Jesus, died for us. The very Son of God died for us. Why? So that believing in him, we will not die but live. Live forever. Live forever as sons and daughters of God. Live forever as citizens in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of our King Jesus. Yes, the world, as does our sinful nature, remains conflicted about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The Muslims deny such a thing could happen to such a nice guy. PBS, which otherwise takes no notice of Jesus Christ, always runs documentaries this time of year, hoping, documentaries on Jesus, to get more subscribers. Businesses have come up with what they call Spring Black Friday to boost sales. And of course, we ourselves are challenged. This service itself can be a challenge to attend, not only because it falls on a Friday, but because of the subject matter, the crucifixion of Christ, and our hand in it. It can be, so it is thought, like attending a funeral in which it's noted annually that we're the ones who caused the death of the one in the casket. Well, there is no casket, but there is a cross. And yes, we are the ones who put Jesus on that cross. Our sin put him there. For what Christ suffered in the body, Luther noted, we ought to have suffered in the soul. The severity which God here manifests in his Son, we deserved. And if God were to act justly, he would do the same to us. Therefore, we should repent. Then forgiveness of sins follows, so that as God saved his Son Christ, our pattern from death and the devil, he will save us too. That is our comfort and our salvation. So if we're burdened with sins, let us carry them to Christ. He has nailed them to the cross and will forgive us and subdue death and the devil. Thus we are made partakers even of the death of Christ. Now, there is something. In the death of Christ, we find our own death. The death of our old Adam, which began when we were baptized into Christ and will end at our physical deaths. So, the comfort. Through the death of Christ for our sin, we receive the forgiveness of sin. Through the death of Christ for us, what he does there actually does indeed apply to us. Through the death of Christ, we are brought to death, that is our old Adam. So that even as we await our own resurrection from the dead, following our Savior himself, we even now, because of the death of Christ, can live. That is, live a new life. So as we behold the man on this Good Friday, we behold our King. As we behold the man on this Good Friday, we behold our God. As we behold the man, Jesus Christ, as he suffers and dies on the cross, we behold not only our death, but our life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. The offering is now received.